After The Exorcist became a blockbuster movie in the early 70s, there was an explosion of films about demonic possession. Film critic David Edelstein says most were just cheap shockers, but some have tried to explore timeless questions of doubt versus faith, like the new film, The Exorcism of Emily Rose.
It comes on like a run-of-the-mill horror picture, but The Exorcism of Emily Rose is a blood-soaked martyr tale, complete with stigmata. It's also a not-so-veiled assault on science and secularism. The movie is loosely based on a real tragedy, the early 70s death of a young German woman in the course of an exorcism, and the trial of the priest who chose bedside prayer over hospitalization. The setting is now rural farmhouse America. The pure and sensitive Emily Rose, played by Jennifer Carpenter, left her home and loving family for college, whereupon all hell broke loose. But that we see in flashback. The movie begins after Emily Rose has died, with the arrest of the exorcist Father Moore, played by Tom Wilkinson. His high-priced defender is Aaron Bruner, played by Laura Linney, a careerist, agnostic, and borderline alcoholic. She's hired by the Archdiocese to strike a deal with the prosecution and make sure Moore's story isn't shared with a public that might think he's a wacko. Although Americans believe in God by a whopping margin and angels and demons by a sizable majority, the director and co-writer, Scott Derrickson, depicts a country in which belief is in peril, under attack by science and the law and pesky facts. A man of God hasn't a prayer. Father Moore could plead guilty to criminal negligence and get off with 6 months in prison, but he chooses to go to trial to, quote, tell Emily's story. He also warns Aaron that this isn't your usual Perry Mason case.
Listen, before we get started, there's something I have to tell you. Something I should have said to you before I let you take the case.
Okay.
There are forces surrounding this trial. Dark, powerful forces. Just be careful, Aaron.
I see.
Look, demons exist whether you believe in them or not, and your involvement in this trial might just open you up to their attacks.
Look, Father, I appreciate your concern, but you need to be worried about yourself. Ethan Thomas is using the medical aspects of this case as ammunition, and I have to be prepared for his attacks. So, with what little time we have, I think we need to focus on your defense.
Now here's something interesting. The studio, in the clips it gave to radio and TV shows, removed a line from that scene before Wilkinson's assertion that demons do exist. Linney's character says, "I'm an agnostic, remember?" Could it be that agnosticism is such an outrageous declaration these days that you can't even put it in a preview, even if the character becomes a believer? Derrickson claims in interviews that The Exorcism of Emily Rose gives both sides of the court case their due, the faithful and the skeptical. If you believe that, I have a grilled cheese sandwich with the image of the Virgin Mary that you might want to buy. There is absolutely no doubt whatsoever that as Derrickson presents it, Emily Rose and Aaron are under siege by Satan. The dialogue and exposition in this movie are so clunky they'd make George Lucas yelp, and the acting is atrocious, apart from Jennifer Carpenter and Linney, who delivers her lines with an intelligence that belies her acceptance of this role. The Exorcism of Emily Rose does have scary passages, with striking makeup and effects, especially one in which the faces of passersby run like Edvard Munchian screamers. But the movie aims higher than mere scares. Emily Rose was put on a fictional anticonvulsive drug called Gambitrol for epileptic seizures, and an expert trial witness asserts that this is what made her exorcism fail, that the sedating Gambitrol left her without resources. The movie Signs suggested that if you don't believe in God, you can't protect your kids from aliens. Here, if you resort to medicine over prayer, you not only can't protect your kids, you suppress the spiritual antibodies they need to do battle with Satan. Derrickson seems to want to take us back 4 centuries before psychiatry and antipsychotics, when mental illness, especially in women, was interpreted as demonic possession. One more thing. Aaron's watch stops at 3 a.m., which Father Moore says is the devil's hour. I was born at 3 a.m., so maybe the devil wants me to pan this movie. There was a priest sitting next to me in the screening, and I had a sudden urge to blaspheme. In my defense, it was because his cell phone was going off. But still, it might have been Satan on the line, stirring those demons inside me.
David Edelstein is film critic for the online magazine Slate.